Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, this part of the chapter is probably the cherry on top of the sundae. This is the hot fudge, and this is all the good stuff of the gospel. And it really is a reminder to us. What I want us to realize again, as I've been saying this morning, how much Jesus gave us. What Jesus has done for us, that you know, his coming as a child, his coming is significant. But his death and resurrection and the gospel that he brought us through his life, and the power that we've been given and the grace that we've been given through all that he brought us is something that we should just always be thankful for. We should always be grateful for the work of Christ. Last time I talked to you about the idea of, you know, or Paul, you know, talked about if we share in Christ's suffering, we will share in his glory. And we talked about the idea of suffering, and that we live in a world that is dark, a world that is filled with sin, a world that rejects God, and we talked about all that last time. And you know, one of the remarkable things about Jesus in this is that Jesus came into the world. You know, I mean, he knew, we were born here. We didn't have a choice. We did not have a choice. Jesus had a choice. Jesus had a choice. He was in perfect peace, in perfect glory, and he had a choice, and he decided, he made the decision to go where the Father told him to go, and he came into this world to create sons of God, to create children that would be adopted by God by the power of the Holy Spirit to be those who would love God. But because of that, right, we know, we talked about this last time, we're now sharing with Christ his character, his love, his power, right? And so we also will share in the world's dislike of us, the troubles that go with that, right? And so you think, okay, so, you know, I thought when I became a Christian, everything was going to get easier, or things were going to get nice. And you know, what I find is sometimes it gets harder. It can be hard to be a Christian. It can be hard to live here in this world and be someone who doesn't really belong here, right? And the real key for us is enduring. Getting through, getting from what we call the already to the not yet. The already is knowing the power of Christ in our lives, knowing the Spirit of God, believing in Jesus Christ, confessing the salvation that God has brought to us. The not yet is actually entering into the kingdom and being with the millions of angels that praise God and seeing God as he is and being a part of that beautiful and glorious and peaceful and lovely kingdom. That's the not yet. But we're in the already. We're in the hard space, right? So he says, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruit of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. So here we are. We're in this already, not yet. You know, we're in the world. And what does he say to us? He says, you know, the Spirit of God tells us that God has this beautiful plan, that he's going to redeem us completely, that we will fit into the kingdom of heaven, right? But we're not there yet. We're not there yet. The idea is, he says, we have to have, and I like the, I would translate it maybe, steadfast expectation. That we have a steadfast expectation. We know that it's there. We know that God has this tremendous plan for us. We know that there is this, you know, beautiful, most wonderful, glorious space that God has created for us, that he's made it possible for us to enter into that place through Jesus Christ, right? But in the meantime, as we are surrounded by darkness, as we're surrounded by sin, as we have the world, the flesh, and the devil working against us, right? How are we going to make it? He said we have to have this steadfast expectation. Some of us just got finished looking at the book of Hebrews, and one of the things he kept telling them was, don't shrink back, don't give up, press on and hold on to, you know, your faith, and don't, you know, get discouraged in the middle of the desert and start grumbling or doubting God and questioning God and you know, getting on God about how hard life is. He says, get through the desert so that you can enter into his rest. And how do you do that? You have to maintain your faith. You have to maintain the idea that God has a plan, that God has a purpose, right? And that we have a place. And so you got to hold on to that expectation. You got to be, you know, perseverant in it. You have to be overcomers in it, right? So that's what he tells us. He says that, you know, as we are here and it can be hard, we need to hold on to that steadfast expectation. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance to the will of God. So again, as we are here and as we are children of God, the Spirit gives us strength. The Spirit gives us a connection to the kingdom. It gives us a connection to the promise. We're talking about the idea of heaven and the idea of millions of angels worshiping God around the throne. The idea of the glory of God, the glory of that kingdom. And none of us have seen that. None of us have been there. None of us has stepped foot into the kingdom of heaven. It is all something that is an expectation, right? It's out there. None of us have been raised from the dead. None of us, you know, have known those powers, right? But we've tasted. We have tasted of the power of the world to come. The Holy Spirit that God gives us tells us that these things are true, tells us indeed that Jesus is risen from the dead, tells us that there is a kingdom of God, tells us that there is this expectation is real. And so he says the Spirit of God, it helps us with our weakness. You know, as human beings, we can be very short-sighted. As human beings, we can listen to the news and let all the bad news start to depress us, start to get us down, start to get us worried, right? As human beings, we can have doubters come up beside us and say, you know, that all that stuff about God, that's not real, you know? You know that after you die, there's nothing, right? You have all that going on around us all the time. But the Holy Spirit inside of us says, no, that's not true. The Holy Spirit inside of us says God's promises are real. God's kingdom is real. The resurrection of Jesus is real. The hope of your resurrection is real. The life that God has promised you in the kingdom of heaven is real. So the Spirit testifies to us about the things of God. The Spirit of God tells us even how to pray to God. I don't know. I hope that you know that power of prayer, because I know that many times when I pray, it's just like the words come that you know are totally about God, totally about the kingdom, totally about you, totally about me. You know, just this whole idea. But it comes from God. It's a gift of God to be able to pray spiritually. And so he says, while we're surrounded by this darkness, and while we're in this, as Paul called it, this present evil age, the Spirit of God is in us, testifying to us and leading us in prayers and thoughts that are more godlike, in prayers and thoughts and attitudes that reach out towards heaven in a way that nobody can do without God's assistance, without the help of the Holy Spirit. So it's the Spirit that builds us up, helps us in our weakness. It helps us to understand, you know, what God thinks is important. You know, because as human beings, we're liable to think, you know, the next car, the next house, the next party, the next whatever. Oh, that's so important, you know. But God lets us know there's some reality in life that is so much more real, so much more important than all those temporal things. And we don't have the Spirit of God, we might start believing the people on the television that tell us, if you don't have gold, something's wrong with you. If you don't have the right car, if you don't have the right clothes, blah, 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 blah. You know, all that stuff. If you don't have it, you just aren't. No. When we have Christ, when we have God, we know we are something. We are, as he said earlier, the Spirit tells us we are the children of God. We belong to the kingdom. We belong to a place that you can't buy with money. You can't, you know, the only way that you get there is through the love and the grace of Jesus Christ, right? So the Spirit of God bears witness to us and helps us as we live in this darkened world. And we also know that everything, right, works, God, that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those who God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Here is the thing, you know, when we look at, first of all, just look at all those words up there. He predestined us, he called us, he justified, he glorified. Who's at work in your salvation? Who's doing the work? You know, the verbs are called, justified, glorified, predestined. Those are the verbs. Those are the action. The subject, who's doing the action? He. God is the one that's at work in us. God is the one who called you. God is the one who gave you the salvation. God is the one who gives us the Spirit. God is the one who gives us the ability to trust in Jesus. God has put out this great plan for us. And so he says, listen, if you're living in the plan of God, if you're walking in this grace of God, in this power of God, he says, no matter what comes against you in this world, God will use it for good. God's going to turn it around so it helps to build your character, so it helps to build your strength and your faith. God's going to make it so that you're stronger and that you walk better and closer to him all the way through this world, right? So all those things that God is doing, it helps us to become, again, you know, not part of this world. We're not being shaped to become, you know, the next president or the next governor or the queen, you know, beauty queen or the next multimillionaire. No, we're not being molded for that. We're being molded to be the sons and children of God. We're being molded to be brought into the kingdom of God. We're being molded to be brought into a place where there's no sin, no suffering, no death, no trouble, nothing but glory and peace forever and ever and ever. That's what God is about. That's what God is doing in us. Through all of his work, he is shaping us and using everything that we endure in this world. Every hardship, every time we go through something, every time, you know, somebody gives a doubt, puts a doubt in your mind, and by prayer and by meditation on the word, by the encouragement of others, we overcome that and say, no. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the resurrection. I believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that he is the means of gaining heaven. I believe that there is a kingdom. I believe that this world and this life is only a beginning, and that all of eternity waits for us out beyond that. And I'm working, like the scriptures tell me, for that eternity. So God is shaping us through all the experiences of this life. Some people say, well, you know, I don't think life is just a test. It's not a test. This isn't a test. This isn't like a trial run. This is a time of growing. It's a time of shaping. It's a time of becoming children of God. And so if you're, again, look at it. If God's at work in you, if God's molding you, if God's shaping you, if God uses all those experiences that come your way to make you his person, right? The destiny that he's created for us is, again, that kingdom of heaven, that we are waiting patiently, we are waiting expectantly, we are hoping for that kingdom, and God is at work in us. Do you know, if God's doing the work, what are the chances it's going to go wrong? You know, yeah, I mean, you know, if God's the one at work in me, if God's the one who's creating me, if God takes all the junk the world can handle us and uses it to shape us, isn't God going to finish what he started? Isn't God able to bring to completion the things that he began? So what shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who could be against us? Think about that. Just think about that. See, you know, you got doubts in your mind. You got doubts maybe you're not good enough. If God is for you, who can be against you? Who can stop us. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge to those whom God has chosen? Is it God who justifies? Who is it that condemns? Jesus, who died? More than that, was raised to life, and is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to the slaughter. Again, in this challenge of life, in this work that God is doing in our hearts and in our lives, right? God is the one at work. Think about this. This is a very comforting thought. If God is the one who wants you to be saved, if God is the one who's calling you to be part of heaven, what's going to stop you? Well, if God is the one who says you're innocent, who is it that's going to stand up against God and say, wait a minute, you don't know what he did, right? You think about that. If God, you know, if God says you're innocent, if God says you're mine, if God says you are my child, who's going to stand up in the court of heaven and be able to tell God to sit down? Who's going to be able to tell God, wait a minute, I have a better opinion. I have a different point of view. And then he asks, well, what about Christ? Oh, you mean the one who died for you? The one who gave his life for you, the one who gave everything to you, the one who left heaven and came to earth to be born, to be your Savior? Is he going to be the one that steps up and says, wait a minute, send him back out? No. One of the things that we have to realize is that God has created this awesome plan, and God has put us on this sure ground through this salvation of righteousness through faith. That when we trust in Jesus Christ, when we call on the name of Christ, when we trust in him and believe that he has a kingdom and a place and a resurrection and that he has the power to give us eternal life, then when we actually confess the name of Jesus as being the name that brings about this great salvation, there is no one to counter the argument. There is no one to stand up in the throne of heaven and say something against that confession. In this present evil age, yes, there's all kinds of doubters. There's all kinds of people that are getting confused about who God is or what God is or whether there's eternality or not eternality. There's all kinds of confusion in this present evil age. But I'm telling you, as soon as we leave this place of already and into what is not yet, as soon as we stand in the heavenly courts, as soon as we stand before the living God, he will say, your confession is right, your confession is true, and all that you have believed, no one will dare to stand against it. No one can stand against what God is doing. Do you see this salvation that God has given us? That you could take the world, the flesh, the devil, you could take all the powers of this present evil age and have them rise up like an army against our souls. But God says no. God says no. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can stop the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing can stop the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is to me the Christmas message. Jesus didn't come to be a baby. Jesus came to be a Savior. Jesus came to be the first fruit of many brothers. He came to set a way for us, and he came to make a perfect path for us into the kingdom of heaven. He came to make us the children of the living God. And God's plan and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ is so powerful, so awesome, there is no force in heaven, on earth, or under the earth that can say anything but amen. Amen. Amen to the work of God our Father. Amen. So as we, you know, have these celebrations with Christmas, and I enjoy all the celebrations, let us remember the gospel. Jesus came to give us the gospel. And I pray for us that as we are given opportunity, if it comes up, that we would have the courage to share our hope with maybe someone who is hopeless, with maybe someone who doesn't understand the power of God's grace. Not in a way to hurt them, destroy them, but just in a way to love them the way God loved you. Somebody had to tell us, didn't they? Someone had to witness to us. So I pray for our courage over this holiday season, as we're with family and friends, that we would have the courage to say something good about the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ, because it is indeed a great salvation. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, mighty God, for your work. Praise you, mighty God, for our Lord Jesus Christ, for the salvation that you have done. The salvation that you have brought us. Praise you, mighty God, that you have set eternity before us, O Lord, that you've opened the gates for us, and that Lord, if we would just call on your name, believe in you, nothing and no one can stop us from entering in, because you have done such an awesome work. Praise you, Almighty God. Praise you, Almighty God, for the great work of salvation that you've brought us in Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.